For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Cindy Burgess Gerson. What an amazing person. You can't have a burger without Berg. Megan Berg.
Just saying. Okay.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Christy Dougherty, the OG Prime Supreme.
And our super-duper premium sponsor, Kelly Grant, the most gorgeous girl in Texas. We love you. Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on Yale Browse. I'm Ronnie Caron from Trash Talk TV and the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast. And here I am with my gorgeous, talented little birthday boyfriend, Mr. Ben Mandelker of the B-side blog of the Banta Blender. Happy birthday, Mother Trucker.
Oh, thanks, darling. Thanks, girl.
Thanks, girl. I love
Thank you.
You.
Love you, too. Thank you so much. Thanks to everyone online who wished me happy birthday. That's super cool. I feel really loved. I woke up this morning and I felt like I've been hugged by the universe.
It's going to be a great year.
It's going to be a great year.
I was going to put up 30s. Last year, eh? God, I'm that much older than you?
I don't know how much older than you are. I never ask a lady her age.
So, what's your point? It's like my real sibling relationship, actually, yeah. Because my little sister feels like my big sister, too.
You're 41, right?
Oh, I'm 42, and proud of it.
Oh, well, there you go. I'll be joining you soon. It's been an awesome birthday so far. I talked about it on the bonus episode that we just recorded, but there's been a bagel involved and a chocolate croissant, so... and sprouts. So, it's just going in the right direction.
Yes, pardon the cough. Yes, the bonus episode is half kind of birthday and a Palm Springs trip convo, and then we do like half an hour about the latest Married to Medicine.
Yeah, so if you're looking for your Married to Medicine fix, it's there on the bonus episode. We have to talk about our live shows. So, people are like, so what's going on with that New York show? Because we announced it on Monday, and then the tickets were supposed to go on sale on Friday, and then they didn't. And people are like, what the hell? Well, guess what? This is Watch What Crappens, and this is just how we roll. Make sure that we like really stumble out of the gate on things. There were just some like administrative things that we thought were going to be done by Friday, and they just weren't. So, but they're still going on sale. But this time, they're going on sale this Friday. They're going on sale at 11 a.m. Eastern on Friday. I believe it's 11 a.m. Check at 10 a.m. just in case I get that wrong. But basically, Friday, they're going on sale. We're getting our ticket link. So sorry to everyone that we like basically hyped up and then like didn't come through for. That's super embarrassing. But, whatever. They'll still go on sale. We'll still do our show. It's going to be a super, super, super fun time. Bowery Ballroom. On top of that, this past Friday, what did go on sale was our DC show and our Boston show. And those shows both sold out in less than 3 hours, which is absurd.
That's bonkers. And we were so excited, but I was like, is there a mistake? Did we buy all the tickets?
Yeah. So
how is this working?
A lot of DC people missed the chance because we announced it. We announced it Thursday afternoon, and then it was sold out by like 12 hours later. It was like within the span of 12 hours, it was announced and sold out. And a lot of people were like, wait, I didn't even listen to the episode. They didn't even know. So we've actually added a second show. The second show is going to be on April 3rd, which is a Tuesday in DC. Also the DC Improv. Tickets for that show, those tickets go on sale this Friday, and those are at 10 a.m. this Friday. Okay. So if you missed it the first show, or if you just want to go back to see a second show, we have two shows in DC now.
Hell yeah. So what are both the show dates?
April 3rd, April 4th at the DC Improv. April 4th is completely sold out, but we're doing a whole second show. And the good part is it's a different night. So we'll be able to cover two different we would have covered two different things anyway, but it's like different energy, you know? So
yeah.
So that's really awesome. Boston people, if you would like a second show, let us know. Because if we get a good outcry, we'll add a second show to Boston too. We do have that option. So if you missed your chance in Boston, if we get a sense there's like a lot of people who are looking for another show, or you just want to see us twice, make your voice heard, because we will add a second show. We've already been speaking with the theater there. And then the last thing I'm going to mention, because I'm sure I've bored half the people here already, I'm sorry. We have an opportunity for a show in Detroit, and we don't really know what our audience is like in Detroit, and we don't want to like have a show and then, you know, 70 people show up. So if you would be interested in coming to see us in Detroit, if you would bring friends or whatever, let us know, because if so, we'll go forward and we will book that show in Detroit.
Josh, so just to be clear, DC goes on sale for April 3rd, this Friday at 10 a.m. And also, what's the other thing that goes on sale?
New York goes on sale this Friday. February 20th.
Yes, so come to those. And then Houston is on sale right now for March.
Yeah, so Houston, that's still several months away. We've sold out half that theater. So, Houston people, come on.
Come on, people.
Cowboy up. Come on. Come on, Houston.
And then the other announcement is we have coffee mugs now available in the Crappin' store. So to find for all of these ticket links, all that information, just go to watchwithcrappins.com. And in the meantime, guess what we've got? Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yes.
What an episode, guys.
What joy that we have.
Now, I don't know if you remember how this ended last week, so let me tell you. Bitch! 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 And that's where we come back in today.
Well, that was Kenya and Kim Zolciak Bierman. We probably should give it a shout out to one of our listeners. I believe her name is Roberta, who unearthed two photos of Kim from high school, and we posted one of them on our Instagram. It is amazing. Kim's old face, her big hair. Wow. What a sight. What a sight.
Everyone was a sight in the 80s. Okay.
Yes.
Everyone.
Exactly.
But you know what? Exactly. Thanks for not suing us, Kim Zolciak, possible future legend.
There's nothing to sue for. We just, you know, someone gave us a photo. It was like a yearbook photo.
A cease and desist it did.
Is Croy gonna appear from out of nowhere to like beat us up, because that's what he does apparently?
Croy just sits out in the car. Don't you remember last season, or Kim's last
when she
season
quit? Yeah,
she's like, I'm leaving, and he's like sitting in the car across the street waiting for her. I guess that's what they do. She wakes that's so up in weird. The morning, puts his makeup on, separates his eyelashes and puts him in the driver's seat.
It's so weird. It's like he just materializes, you know. Yeah. Talk about Beetlejuice.
And that's not like, that guy wouldn't be like a Jerry Springer bodyguard. You know what I mean? He's just like little pipsqueak with some eye makeup on. Like,
well, I wouldn't
he's
say
not
he's
breaking anybody up.
Well, he was a defensive player in the NFL. I wouldn't call him a little pipsqueak.
In this crowd, he is. He's against NeNe Leakes. It's like he's against the All-Star Moose team, okay? Like
All-Star like, Moose.
There's Marlo, NeNe. Ken is not a blushing flower either. I mean, geez.
Shrinking violet, if you will.
Yes.
So Kenya and Kim are fighting, and the best part is in this episode we come back, we watch some of the same fights, the same words back and forth, and this time they cut to NeNe's face reacting, and the first time her face is like bleh, and the next time it's like bleh.
Like, NeNe's okay. Really been working on her shades of emotion.
Yeah. So of course
Kenya's
says
like,
that,
"You, why don't you go pimp out your daughter for John Legend tickets? See whose dick she'll suck, bitch."
Yeah.
And Kim's like, "My daughter, that's where you crossed the line, bitch.
You don't talk about my fucking daughter." I was like, we need Kelly Dodd. And you're like, it's not about the daughter. It's not. No.
I'm not without my daughter. It's like, that's a Sally Field movie. Okay. She's just like trying to do Sally Field lines to look like a better actor. It's like,
fathers, be nice to your daughters. Now you're just quoting John Mayer, which is actually really unsettling.
I'm so mad. So mad. I need to hit someone.
Here, hit Weezer.
Steel Magnolias. Oh, Kim, shut up, Kim Zolciak.
Yeah,
so she's like trying to pretend that she's crying. Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
No one can tell if she's really crying or not because she's just got that big blow up doll face. And it's like that clown you keep punching down and it pops back up. You know those things kids had in the 70s? Kids named Rondel.
Yes, yes. Yes, quite aware. Kim is like now on the couch and she's squirming. She's having her own exorcist moment. And then she like throws something and like a wine glass gets knocked over and was like, Kim.
And then Cynthia's, of course, the best friend at her side. She's like, well, Kim, might I suggest, child, that you get a lake house and a leaf blower. Takes a lot of time away, makes you think of different things. She's like, not without my daughter, bitch.
Dippin' daughters.
And then the Dippin' daughters. Then Greg comes out, the Roomba, the slowest Roomba of all time, you know. What we call of the wet sweep Roomba. And he's just like looking at the glass on the floor, kind of like he cleans everything, like he cleaned that windowsill last week. He's like, well, there's one piece of glass here, and then possibly another one over here. I'm like, Greg, it's one glass, okay?
Yeah, just clean it up.
Get a dustpan.
Yeah. And Kim is like, in her interview, she's like, You don't know my relationship with Chrissy. You can't say that fucking stuff. You don't know my relationship with Chrissy. It's not for your eyes, you dumb bitch. I'm like, you put it on Twitter. If it's not for her eyes, don't send it on Twitter. Okay, it's called
I didn't
Chrissy.
Send that bird to your house. I sent it to Christy's house.
It's like, her name is not Christy, okay? This is Chrissy. Chrissy Teigen. Who is currently posing on a countertop with her pregnant belly in front of a slab of meat. Why? I don't know. But it's another bad backsplash to piss off Ben, I'll tell you that much.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm not even going to say it. So, Nini's like talking to Kim to try to get her calmed down. And she's like, Kim, what is wrong? And Nini's like, now kids are off limits, but you can't be posting about your daughter sucking dick on Twitter. I'm like, thank you, Nini. Voice of reason, finally.
Nini, she's like, I mean, the music ain't even that good. I listened to it on the iPod. Way to slam John Legend and Kim at the same time.
And the like advances in Apple's technology. iPod? What's that?
So, I listened to it on the 8-track.
That's the Victrola.
And Kenya's like, I cannot believe you would throw glass in this lovely lady's home. It's the nicest Kenya's ever been to Nini, just so she can get one on.
I can't believe she would ruin the Nini Leaks Girls and Gays Never Forget Seafood Soiree sponsored by Photocam.
Well, there's another piece of glass right over here.
We'll clean it up, Greg.
Never forget, Greg.
So Sheree's like, well, she got 17 kids, and they need their mom at home. Nini goes, I don't know what happened. Can you get me a Moscow Mule?
I disagree with Sheree. I actually feel like those kids would be better served if Kim weren't there.
No kidding. Kim, just don't go home ever. So,
well, I think Kim's version of going home is going to Taco Bell.
Ding, ding.
I'm home. take me home to Taco Bell.
Not my Taco Bell, bitch. So Portia's like,
I would rather be at home playing with my wigs instead of that party, which is sad.
But she is. I like it because she was like, she's laughing. She's like, ha, 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 ha.
Sad.
So it's like, ding dong. And she's like,
is that the male PS man?
And Lauren's like, well, I got my Uber Eats already. Lauren, what do you eat off Uber Eats? That girl McDonald's. Is too thin to be eating off Uber Eats. I don't believe it.
Maybe she just does it for the companionship.
She probably tried to get her code out there to get a little extra money for when Portia dumps her and they cut it out.
That's like me when I put my Postmates code out there and like everyone signed up for Postmates and I kept on getting these emails being like, guess what? You have another free $10. Another free $10. I was like, sweet. I'm going to get delivery for free for the next year. And then I tried to use it. And basically what it means is that like the charge that's on top, like the extra dollar or $3 charge they put on, it's like waived. So I'm like, oh, so I have literally $120 worth of $2 charges. So basically it's like nothing. Mad.
That's mad. Lame. They shouldn't
you know
have just
saying?
Put that
it's like
in the Yes, that's not fair.
It's like nice. It's nice I don't have to pay an extra $2 on the already like overpriced Postmates experience.
Well, you know what it is?
Sad. It's sad.
Sad.
So it's Kim.
Hold
because...
on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. You say what about Postmates?
Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on.
Hoda pops up behind the couch again. Like, for you...
Still not calling you, bitch. Get out here.
So, Kim, it's Kim and Croy, of course, and Sheree.
Yeah.
Kim really, I mean, that is some thirst. Like, yes. She won't stay at the party. She's going to have her husband, Jerry Springer, her out of that party and then stop at the closest house to finish shooting her scene.
Yeah, exactly. So they go over there to be like, guess what just happened? And meanwhile, over at Nini's white party, never forget, seafood soiree, etc., Marlo is there congratulating herself for being a positive person, which is, I don't know why. She's like, I was positive here. I don't even know what my Marlo voice is today. But,
do you know what I wrote down? I wrote, man. No, I want everybody to notice I was on my best behavior. I wrote, man. Like, I didn't remember her name.
And Kenya Bass was saying, you know, like, Brielle was talking shit about me on Instagram. And Brielle was saying, I think she was saying something about, like, Kenya's new man, et cetera. And it's just, like, a reminder of, like, just this is what happens when Kim Zolciak is in charge of a household. People like Brielle. And the thing is this, honestly, Brielle she's not a minor. She's now become fair game. So like, sorry, if you don't want Brielle to be like, to get the brunt of a Kenya Moore attack, how about you tell Brielle to stop tweeting shit out at Kenya and like, and don't tweet that shit out also, Kim. You know?
Well, Cynthia's like, well, everybody, the one who really behaved was Kenya because she got pushed. And it took a long time for her to get pushed. And then he's like, girl, you need to tell your wig that. She starts like telling her whatever. Yeah. And then Kenya's like, I did not address that tweet because of her daughter. And I said they, you know, another thing I said is that they didn't cut off her dick without reassignment.
Yeah.
Does she have a dick or not? Which is great.
Kenya's like trying to, sorry.
No, well, now she's got the entire transgender gay lesbian community after her ass. They're like, now 2 weeks in a row. Technically, it's 1 week caught up in a two, but.
But she's also like really trying to push this line. I feel like maybe you guys didn't hear this like really great burn last week. So in case you didn't, why does Kim have such a hard on for me? Didn't they cut your dick off when you had that reassignment surgery dick? See what I'm trying to do? I'm basically saying she looks like a man. I'm saying she's like a trans. Yes, Kenya.
Like, you think you're burning her, but you're actually giving her a very sympathetic storyline. Like, now everybody's rooting for Kim. We're like, we support you.
So meanwhile, over at Portia's house, Kim is now, of course, being classic Kim. And she's like, yeah, Kenya said, hey, you pimped out your daughter to get tickets for your injured son. And we're like, where did the injured son, where'd that come from?
You said that John Legend tried to rape my son when Brielle innocently wanted to hug him for a ticket to see a child, to see a Teletubby. It's like, this doesn't even make sense, Kim. Come on now.
She's like, well, I heard that word, injured son. I heard those words, and I was just like, I will destroy you, bitch. I'm like, maybe someone said the word son at one point during the party and someone said like in at another part and someone mentioned jury duty at another part, but like I don't think anyone ever said injured son at any point.
Also, guess who injured the son? Your fucking dog that you keep locked up in a cage and then horse around with and make fucking crazy. It was injured by you basically, and your crazy ass animal. So stop trying to come out here with your little tin can, okay? And Sheree's like, well, I didn't hear about the son, but maybe it happened because I'm very upset, you know, and maybe that just happened. I don't know. And Portia's like,
you need to stay away from that. She'll try and make you look crazy and hostile. I can't believe she said that about your whole daughter and your left-footed son.
It's like the worst game of telephone I've ever heard in my life.
I can't believe that she wants to sell Brielle into female slavery just so that way she could hurt your injured son some more. Man, trafficking is really bad on the way out to this neighborhood.
No, it's traffic. They're two different things.
I went to the bookstore and they have a trifictional section. I was like, what?
Also,
she's just playing telephone with herself. It's like when you're a kid, you try to call your own number and you get like a busy tone. You're like, whoa.
You're like, star 69. Well, it's me still. So Portia's like,
what's the difference between star 67 and star 69 anyway? And what's the star?
I'm the star, bitch. I'm friends with Christy.
And Kenny wants to injure my phone.
So basically, Portia's like, well, watch out, because she's going to try and make it look like you're crazy and violent. I was like, you dragged her across the floor by her hair. Like, that wasn't someone trying to make you look crazy and violent, okay? You kicked someone in the stomach. Okay? You flayed your own assistant in an alley behind a party.
I also loved when they talked about Cynthia wearing a poncho, and Portia's like, well, you know how she loves to wear her beach wear during the daytime. And I just was like, it was so like quiet and subtle, but I thought that was the funniest her beach wear during the daytime. Cut to like Cynthia wearing like a little inner tube with like some, like a ducky inner tube.
She's like wearing those arms, that those floaties on your arms, like babies.
And big, like, flippers on her feet. Cha! I'm ready.
I brought my gaze, my floaties, and my seafood time.
Age is just a number, but these flippy, these floaties are timeless.
I would like to take a moment to say thank you for Vaseline for making rosy lips lip therapy taste delicious. Okay.
Okay. So
you know, I'm in a very grateful place after Palm Desert. Okay, I'm coming from a grateful place.
So then we're back at Nina's house, and just as Portia predicted, Kenya's like, I just want to know why Kim is so angry. She's so angry all the time. Like, what's going on in her life that she's so angry? It's like, yep, there it is. Now Kim's the crazy one.
Yep. That's when Nini's like, you and your wig, and Cynthia's like, at the end of the day, say nothing. I'm like, you have nothing to say. She's like the worst advice giver ever. She just copies whatever meme she's heard. She's like, my home is your home. And rest not, you weary eyes. Waste not, want not, child. Like, okay, well, thanks for talking, Cynthia.
Yeah. So then Nini is starting to feel a certain way. She's like, She's like, starts talking about how basically Cynthia's defending Kenya, but she's not sure that Kenya would do the same for Cynthia. That's what Nini. So clearly, Nini, there's going to be some weird Nini Kenya shit coming down the pike.
Well, Nini is just sticking up for everybody all the time, mindlessly, just so people will invite her places again.
Yeah, exactly.
Candy's unloading the baby at the candy factory.
Yeah, she's like walking around with a stuffed M&M, which I thought was funny for some reason.
No, Riley, it's M&M, but can't eat it. Ugh, better late than never, M&M.
I got Brielle a green one to make you horny. Hey, tell that to my friend Christy. So you know that Candy called, and like on her way there, she's like, Don Juan, see, nah. Work on Riley song. When we walk into the... I'm like, you're still working on Riley's song? Really?
Exactly. Because the background here is better late than never.
Better late than never. And Don Juan's like moving faders up and down. And then the computer screen is Riley's like glamour shots face. I was like, okay, Candy.
It's the DJ Mustard remix.
Yeah, you can't blame Candy for not trying, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So she's in there at the candy factory. And Sheree shows up. And Sheree just starts telling Candy about everything that happened at the party, about everything with the party and everything. And she's saying how the theme is girls and gays. So because it was girls to bring gays, she's like, so I brought Kim. And Candy goes, and then a fax came out of her mouth.
There were so many noises in there. Hey, girl, I'm at your gate. I'm at the gate. And Don Juan's like, well, look, we got the bone collector. We got the bone collector up in here. And she's like, oh, that's what it's called. I was putting get the bones. It's like she can't remember her own thing. She's like, chase the bone, bury the bone. What do they call me again?
What am I?
I earned the wrong thing under my shirt.
You get a bone? You get a bone?
Don Juan's like, well, Sheree's coming by. You need a second opinion because, you know, her story can differ.
Oh, yeah. And then I had totally forgotten that they cut to a flashback of Sheree saying that Candy said that something about... I just remember when they went to Africa, there was some stupid controversy about, like, babies and a charity. Yeah. And I remember...
And Sheree did get it, like, asked backwards wrong. But this time it seems like she's trying to make an effort to kind of get it right.
Yeah, well, she's not really, because she was like, well, see, what happened was, basically, Kenya said, you're whoring up Brielle for your injured son, and then take him off in a UFO. I'm like, wait, what? It's Ray. You got a UFO? You got a UFO? And then this time...
Kenya said that the injured son didn't have his penis cut off yet. And everyone was like, she cut off his son's penis? You got a son's penis.
And Kenya's like, see, no, Riley, that doesn't sound like something that Kenya would say. And she's like, well, I didn't really hear that part of it, but they said that's what happened, so okay.
I like that Don Juan's the expert. He's like, she wouldn't say injured son. She would not say injured son. By the way, just like he hasn't had a call from production to get this exactly right. Like, how the fuck would Don Juan know? He's like the medium, you know? He's like, yeah. I had a dream. She would never say injured son. But I have to say, for those people wondering where this is coming from, when Kim tweeted that, people immediately jumped on Kim. Like, oh my God, you're offering blowjobs? That is disgusting. And Kim's response was, calm down, everyone. The reason I did it is because I wanted tickets for my injured son who's sick. So she tweeted that way back in the day whenever this shit started. Right. So she's putting her tweets together to make Kenya look worse. Or maybe she's an alcoholic and doesn't remember. But that is where that injured son thing is coming from.
I just think it's a weird thing to tweet in the first place, as did everyone else. And yes, maybe that is her humor that she has with Chrissy. But bitch, you got to know your audience. You got to know that, like, no.
No, she doesn't. She knows her audience and they're child molesters because she's she's
like, you also have to know your audience, Ryan.
She's like, Brielle, put your tits on the Snapchat. Whoops, mistake.
Oh yeah, there's all those rumors. There's like there are rumors out that Kim is going to release some sort of sex tape.
Yeah, and
Brielle.
She's not a child, so yeah, you're right. It's not a child molester. A 20-year-old molester.
Either way, Brielle's going down a bad path.
Yeah, either way, gross. She's going down a bad path in a very large car.
Okay. And you know what? She's been, you know what? Honestly, we've seen this path coming for a while. This has been a very obvious path, and I don't know why none of us did anything to stop it. Why did social services never get called? Why? Why?
They're busy. They're very busy, okay? They're like, you've got your dogs in a cage. If your kids misbehave, you can put them in a cage. You're a good parent, you know? The bar is lowered these days.
So anyway, before we get ourselves into too much trouble, we then have...
Is there more?
It's the final episode of Watcher Crappens. So Sheree has decided that she's going to put together a girls trip for San Francisco. There's a very tenuous reason behind it. It's basically because her life coach said, do something nice for yourself. And so she's like, put together a San Francisco trip. Whoop. I'm like, what? I was like, okay. All right. So this is like...
I think he meant like take a bath.
Yeah, I think he meant like go to Carvel or like... Friendlies, or like buy yourself a Nintendo Switch.
Well, it's going to be healing this trip because abuse belongs among friends. Okay.
So yeah, so Sheree's invited everyone, and she's invited Kim, she invited Kenya, and she wants Candy to come, and Candy doesn't really want to go, but obviously she knows she has to go, so she pulls this random thing like, see now, Ali, be. So good, how could I not watch this unfold?
I feel guilty about being a working mom, but I gotta see this fight. It's like, okay. Yeah. You just cried for 5 minutes about how hard it is to be away from your son, and you just planned another week-long trip.
So then Cynthia and Noelle go off to get cupcakes.
Yeah, they go to decorate cupcakes, and this just goes to show you how different Cynthia is to Yolanda Foster. I mean, we all remember Yolanda Foster not even letting the Utta Utta one eat half an almond. And here Cynthia's like, you're going to be a model? Let's decorate cupcakes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely a different trajectory. Also, don't forget that Yolanda, like, you know, put Bella under the knife, etc.
Yes.
So, so Noelle basically has decided she's not going to go to Charlotte anymore. And I think she probably realized that, A, why would you leave Charlotte? Why would you leave Atlanta when you could, like, be, like, awesome in Atlanta, and it's Atlanta and it's cool, and you're with your mom who's awesome, versus going to Charlotte where you're with Peter. It's bar one.
Yeah, I basically checked out for this whole scene. I was like, Cynthia, Noelle, I'm gonna go to the bathroom. Bye.
This was where I actually fell asleep, and then I had to resume it the next morning, because when I fall asleep, I sort of like everything gets erased. All I know is that basically Noelle has to tell Peter that she's not coming to Charlotte, and that Noelle is breaking up with her man. And Cynthia still likes Will. She's like, "Child, where there's a will, there's a way. This way."
This way, Will.
This way. To the lake. It's an island in the lake. It's a kitchen island by the lake.
And then they put on this wacky clown music as Cynthia pretends to eat a cupcake. We're like, oh my God, she's so down to earth. Okay, well, thank God they followed this lame-ass cupcake scene up with my favorite thing on The Real Housewives of Atlanta, Greg pretending to clean something very slowly. It's like, yes. I'm dusting a chair outside on the patio because Nene won't let the crew shoot in the house, which I guess is the new rule because they're always shooting out on the patio now.
Unless there's going to be a girls and gays never forget, not the Holocaust, but don't forget that this is my house, seafood soiree featuring clams.
Well, even that was one room on the end close to the sliding doors. Yeah, I'll bet Nene had like porta potties outside at that party. Like, nope, you are not going to go into the bathrooms of my home.
Yeah. Yeah, so Greg is cleaning patio chairs. And basically the good news is the doctors say he's okay. It was a close call, but everything was fine. It was just scary, but everything's good. And Nene's like, but I don't know, Greg, if I want to leave you to go to San Francisco, I'm afraid. He's like, I'm fine.
Now, look at this dot on this chair. He's like using two fingers and going like, psh, psh, psh. It's my favorite thing ever. So Kenya,
but you can tell it's the highlight of his day. Yeah.
Yeah, Kenya, there's sad music. And she has pictures spread out over the bed because her grandmother's died, and her grandmother's the one who raised her.
Yeah.
And that's really sad. She's like, it's the only mother I've ever known.
Yeah, which is sad. Cynthia comes over in beachwear and is like, Cha, you ready to go to the beach now? She's like, no, my grandma died. She's like, oh, Cha. But it was actually sad. And
girl, I brought some poncho floaties. Make you feel better.
It was sad because, as Kenya mentioned, like, you know, this woman chose to raise her, like, excuse me, she didn't have to. And I felt bad for Kenya. I also feel bad that Kenya seems to, every episode, she seems to be putting out different picture frames to cry about something else.
I know.
Here are pictures of my old garage window.
Yeah, I know. I am happy that this time at least she had Cynthia, so she wasn't like, King, look at these pictures I have to pick out.
Yeah.
Poor dogs can only do so much.
Yeah, poor Kenya. She deserves better. She needs more, like, I kind of feel bad. You can see that they're, like, Nene's back, and they're already putting Kenya to the side a little bit, which God. Is not fair, because Kenya did a lot of the heavy lifting when Nene was gone.
Kenya's putting herself to the side, though.
That's true, this whole wedding thing.
Yeah, Kenya's putting herself to the side, and she's also doing that thing that I hate that all my strong girlfriends eventually do. Not all. But a nice large percentage where they're like, I'm this strong woman. And then they find a man and suddenly it's like, well, I don't know if I can go on the trip. I don't know how I feel. You know, I'm not sure if Mark's going to want me to go.
Yeah. Well, to be.
He's not even in the same city as you. He can't boss you around yet. Okay. Call his voicemail and tell it how badly you want to go.
Yeah, I mean, I would understand if she said, listen, my grandma just died. I need to process. I'm not going to go on the show. But don't say anything about Mark. Okay. This is Mark. If you're not going on a trip because of Mark, guess what? Mark married you, and this is who you are, Kenya. You are a reality star, and you part of your job is you go on the trips. And if he can't deal with that, then he has to go hang out with Michael Campanella somewhere and look at trash can lids.
Michael Campanella. So over at Sheree's house, she's like, "Woo, Kyra, what you got?
What you got, Kyra? You got to play, Kyra? You got to play, Kyra?"
Sheree is just basically one long sound effect.
Yeah.
cover what you got. She's like, I'm going out of town. Now, you better not throw any parties in here. We all know how Cairo is. He'll take pictures of the house so he knows where everything goes. And Cairo's doing this weird thing where he's like sucking in his lips. He's like, Like, I think someone told Cairo, like, basically you're a piece of ass. Please move your face at some point. He's like, okay.
And then Cynthia, meanwhile, is FaceTiming with Will. And he's like, so what are you up to next weekend? Because I have access to a rather sizable boat. It's called a canoe. You ever seen one before? Yeah. It's about for three different people to paddle in. Yeah.
As someone put on Facebook, get a real man. Get a man with a boat, not one who has access to a boat.
Yeah.
It's like me. I know where the ladder is to the roof of the Empire State Building. Okay, could you pay for the entrance fee and then we could just actually go up there, you yeah. cheap bastard?
He's like, I have access to a rather sizable boat and it will take us from Manhattan to Staten Island. It's like, that's a Staten Island ferry, okay? It's public.
It's like, I have access to a sizable boat. It's called the Love Boat and it's on my Hulu Plus, which my brother pays for.
I have access to a boat. It's just going down the street right now, and some clown has it in the gutter. I'll be right back. See you soon.
So she's like, this feels like a date. And he's like, well, it's not a date without a leaf blower, and I will be bringing one. She's like, yes, wet. Next scene, Portia is at the store with Laura. They're at the grocery store. And Portia's like,
I don't know if I should be taking this trip when I'm a baby vegan. Because I'm a baby vegan now, which means I'm hangry.
It's cracked me up because that's a Ben term. And Lauren's like, okay, yes. Well, if you're going to eat vegetables, here, maybe you should get this. And she goes,
ew, what is that?
And she goes, beets. And she goes,
I don't like ugly food. That looks stupid.
Well, enjoy your cashew cheese. It's the prettiest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah, that bloody beef. Nah, that's something beautiful you can always go back to.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Enjoy your bowl of grains.
So Nini's packing with Brent and just opening and closing drawers.
Yeah, that's a lot of her episode. Just opening and closing drawers.
That's like Nini's journey on The Real Housewives of Atlanta. Opening and closing drawers.
By the way, I just want to say I'm very excited because I just got an email and now we are officially on the Bowery Ballroom's website. And so now it's a fish.
Oh, tickets, yeah.
We now have an official ticket link, everyone. We're not full of bullshit, okay? So we can open and close this scarf drawer on this situation. Mm-hmm. It is now up and running. Oh, thank God. But the tickets won't be on sale till Friday.
Look, this drawer is for pink feathered... What'd she say? Like pink feather boas and Bowery Ballroom tickets.
That's where Nini keeps her Bowery Ballroom tickets.
Marlo's like, I love it.
Yeah, so, Marlo comes. Well, actually, you know what I loved? I don't know if you noticed this, but when Marlo like rang the doorbell, she's like, Nini's like, Brent, go get the door. And Brent does this thing where he just like sort of spun around in a circle as he exited. I was like, you know what? That kid knows how to make an exit. Good for you, Brent. You know what? I support your future in comedy.
Yeah. Sorry, I was closing the screen door, smoking at the screen door.
I thought you were trying to show off your closet. You're like, and here's where I carry my shoes.
Keep my feather thongs the same place I keep my LL socks. Okay, everybody? There's one drawer. It's not even a drawer. It's one of those locker cubbies I bought from Target. Well, he twirls.
I don't know why that's funny to me. I don't know why that's funny to me.
Because it's like so, it's such a teenager thing to do, and I'm like 42. Like, get a drawer, really? But yeah, Brent is twirling out like Kenya. Don't raise your children on these shows. This is what happens. It's like ding dong, twirl, twirl out the door. So she's talking about Marlo and she's like, now Marlo, we all know Marlo and we know that we've had problems, but you know what? At the end of the day, Cynthia's like, that was my line. She's like, Marlo is like that old girl down the street that we all know. Which is so rude.
And so presumptuous. I never knew a girl down the street. Unless Martha Thompson counts.
That old girl down the street. It's like Marlo's basically Jessica Fletcher riding around on her bicycle solving mysteries. Leave her alone, Nini. So then Nini's like, Marlo's like, whoa,
It's a hallway. Wow. Are these closets? Whoa.
And she's like, oh, you want credit for teaching me, bitch? That's right. I learned from the best, bitch. Look at these drawers, bitch. And just says bitch a lot while she opens and closes doors.
Yeah, but importantly, Nini invites Marlo to San Francisco because she's like, it'll be a surprise. It'll be hilarious. It'll be a huge surprise. It's like, okay, cool. So Marlo's like, I can do that because I'm actually flying to California to get a car. I'm like, what? You don't have to fly that far to get a Ford Taurus, okay?
She's like, I wanted it in beige. I wanted it in the proper shade of beige.
Yeah. So Nini starts complaining about that Cynthia's defending Kenya too much. So she's again starting to, you know, start to put it out there that Cynthia might be compromised by Kenya. She's clearly setting something up. She's like, I'm not jealous. I just think it's weird. I think she said that around now.
Well, because Marla is calling her on it. She's like, oh, you're being jealous now. Now, am I allowed to speak to Kenya? And she's like, yeah, of course you can. She goes, but can I say hi to her? Can I speak to her? Can I pass her the butter?
Yeah.
And then Nini says about Portia, she told me the door is closed. The door is closed.
The door is closed.
Yeah, she starts screaming, the door is closed. The door is closed.
Wasn't it Nini who was screaming, the door is closed? Because I thought Portia said, when was the door closed? And she was like, the door is closed.
They showed a flashback of Portia saying, I don't remember, I didn't write down the exact wording, but they should have, like, Nini makes it sound like Portia was screaming, the door is closed, the door is closed. And then they cut to Portia, the flashback of her being like, well, after you closed the door, Nini, it was one of the few things Portia actually said calmly.
Yeah, that was weird. I thought Nini was the one screaming, the door is closed. I should have looked up that episode.
She is, Nini, because Nini is crazy. She is deranged.
And so now she's just... Nini's basically showing us what she's going to do all season, which is the you are defense. Anything that she says, she's going to accuse the other person. And then when you confront her on anything, she's just going to say you are. And that's all she does this entire episode.
Exactly.
She's
which
just
going to
scream louder, you know?
Which is why I was like sort of excited when Nini was off the show, because I felt like she just became like repetitive and kind of annoying when she fought. Like, it wasn't the old Nini who was just like super funny and shady. I mean, Nini's still funny, don't get me wrong. But, like, when she fights, she's, like, a little annoying, I think, these days.
I mean, I wish Nini would just keep the credit for Close the Door, because we could have started calling her Clodo, like on Game of Thrones, when he's like, hold the door, and it turns out his name is Hodor, because he ended up dying I'm sorry, that's a spoiler, right? Sorry. Carry on. But I wanted Nini's name to be Clodo, and she just ruined it for me by not taking credit.
Well, we then go to the airport where Sheree is waiting for everyone, and Portia shows up with like 10 giant bags, even though they're only going away for the weekend. And she's basically like, listen, when you go on a trip with a bunch of people who hate you, you gotta like make sure you look great at every moment, which I actually support.
If you're with a bunch of people who hate you, the way to make them like you is not to take all of the bellboys for your suitcases. Yeah.
Or not to go on the trip in the first place. But no, yeah. She has to go on the trip.
Yeah,
and Candy shows up and totally gives Portia a cold shoulder, which was great. You know, she just like that, you know, the Candy Burris cold shoulder is a cold, cold shoulder.
Yeah. No matter what the wig is, because it's a warm wig, but a very cold shoulder. She's like, my wig may be covering my shoulder, but it's still cold.
Candy got a little bit of shade in because they're waiting for everyone. Turns out Kim is not going to come. Kenya, they're like, where's Kenya? Where's Nini? They're like, well, we can't wait around for everyone. Let's go inside. And someone was like, you know, there's too many people that are missing. And I don't know if you heard it, but Candy goes, see, nah, not enough people are missing. One more and we could go. Which is a reference to Portia, which is really funny. But they like, it was like this throwaway line off to the side.
Then we go to commercial and Andy's like, hey guys, she's on Real Housewives of Atlanta and she's a fantastic. And it cuts off. It's like, I love that he still can't get those in. It makes me laugh out loud every single time.
Every single time.
Andy, you got 5 seconds. And he's like, and then I went around the corner and got some bubble gum clip.
Hey guys. And then sometimes he ends too early. So if he ends too early, he just cocks his head to the side. It's like a Pez dispenser.
So funny. So they get to San Francisco and they're in this bus, and she goes,
for a minute, it looked like Nene and Candy missed the bus. It was a good minute.
And they get in the party bus, and Twirl and King are in there, and Candy's like, see, now, don't have the dog take no pee and no shit in the daggone car now. See, now, right. Don't want no feces, don't need no feces.
And Sheree's like, you girls excited for bonding? You excited for bonding? If they squash that petty drama, we'd have a good time. I'm determined. So she's like, wait, who? Oh, she goes, the life coach gave me an assignment to do something for myself. And then he's like, now I should be a life coach. I will give good, excellent advice. I was like, that's a bad sentence. You're already failing.
See, Nene, I feel like, is like one of those kids, those insecure kids, where if you say, you know what I'm really good at? I'm really good at jumping. Well, I'm good at jumping too. Like, yeah. You know, my life coach gives me good advice. Well, I give good advice too. I'm like, okay, Nene.
Yeah, Nene, rent your own Citibank office for people to like come to get their life coaching advice.
When Nene talks about being a life coach, I just think back of her in that crazy Bride of Frankenstein wig, and I think, I don't know if I could ever take life coach advice from someone who wears a wig like that.
I couldn't take life coach advice from someone who's lost every friend that they've ever had and every TV job they've ever had at some point. Like, I'm not really sure. And someone who owes $2 million to the IRS. Okay? I'm not really sure that that's a good advice coach. But so, she's like, don't ask me for advice if you don't want to hear it. I'm like, that's why no one ever does and no one ever has. Yeah,
that's why you're not a life coach, because no one wants to hear your advice.
Yes.
Listen, when you are the one who is in a petty-ass argument with someone and you're just like saying, you are, I'm just not going to go to you for advice.
Yeah, no, you're a life choach, okay? You're just a choach in life. Now shut up, Nene. So Kenya's like, they start playing with each other in the car and asking who had sex last. And Kenya's like, hey, Portia, when was the last time for you to have sex? And Kenya only asks questions like this if she's got some kind of evidence in her purse.
Right.
So I'm waiting for her to whip it out. And Kenya goes,
it's been about 5 months for me.
And there's a really long pause. And Candy goes, and she's like, "What you know? What you know?" She's like,
every crow in the Bay Area started following that party bus. They're like, "Yes." Just heard these strange noises.
It's like one of those days where like 1,000 birds fall from the sky, but nobody knows why.
Oh, Candy Burris is in town. She's laughing and scrambled their brains. So then they ask Sheree, and Sheree's like, whoop, hoodoo, 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 speaking bird noises. And all the pigeons then flop over. But then then they're like, when was the last time you had sex? And Nene is like, whoop, Sheree's in love with someone. And it turns out that Sheree is in love with someone in prison, and his name is Tyrone. Now, and apparently Tyrone, we've met before, because we see a flashback to that famous fight where Nene's like, I got a Donald Trump check, which is, of course, hilarious now in retrospect.
Fix your teeth.
And they were talking about Tyrone at that time. I don't have any recollection of Tyrone. For a moment, I thought it was that shady guy that Sheree went on a few dates with, but I don't think it's him.
Well, it's very confusing because Sheree is not going to – Sheree never owns up to shit that she doesn't have to. But she's like, well, it's different because we were dating before he went in. So it's not like I'm dating him now that he's in. We were dating before then, and then he went in, and then we got married and stayed dating. So what was that whole storyline with Bob? Like, now people are online are like, oh, so it's a fake storyline because she –
What about Bob?
Yeah, he was in prison before the whatever. So who knows?
Right. She's like, I had no idea. I mean, I just thought he was a man of few words, which is why our conversations were only a minute long before some lady would come on and disconnect us.
No, look,
I thought that was his daughter.
When someone says, would you accept this collect call? I figured, that's a man trying to collect me. And I'm here for that.
When they say correctional facilities, I thought he's somewhere correcting something, like maybe his posture. You got baseball, Tyrone? He's working on himself. He's at a place called a correctional facility where he's correcting the things in his past. I don't think that's the way it works, Sheree.
Black is the new black. Okay.
So,
what is the new black? Sheree, this guy is really cute, by the way. I looked him up online.
Tyrone?
Yes. And I'm here for this relationship. I say start with the man while he's already been to prison and is serving his time, and then he'll be more appreciative when he comes back. You know he can make money. I mean, it might be in fraudulent securities. But still, that's a man who makes an effort. Any man who goes to white-collar prison has made an effort to provide for his family, okay? That's
right.
The man you marry. You go, Sheree.
Is he hotter? When you said he's cute, where does he rank, like, on the hot Todd scale?
Well, Todd's pretty hot. I mean,
hot
we're,
Todd.
Yeah, hot,
well,
Todd.
Hot Todd.
Not
Todd.
Yeah, hot Todd. Not just regular Todd.
Not just, like, standard Todd. Hot Todd. Hot Todd. If hot Todd is, like, the top, right? Although Cairo's
well, I mean, we all have different fantasies.
I guess Cairo would. I mean, on the hot Todd scale, Cairo still probably outranks hot Todd. But
hot Todd is way hotter than Cairo. I think
hot Todd's hotter than Cairo.
Yeah,
I think Cairo's
got that like young thing. So he's like, I'm just young.
He's got cheekbones too.
Well, I need to see when he's like 30. I think you can't truly judge someone's hotness until they get kind of older.
Okay.
You know? Young people are just naturally hot. Okay, young people, you're welcome.
Okay, so let's limit this to people who are dating Real Housewives of Atlanta. And we have Hot Todd, we have New Will, Peter, we have Classic Todd, and, well, we don't know what Mark looks like yet. And I guess you could
Mark's hot.
Croy.
I've seen Mark on the internet.
Okay, so Mark and Croy, and who else is there? No one's left. Bob.
I don't know. I don't particularly find that many of these guys hot. I find Hot Todd hot, and I think Croy's hot. I could do without his like full face of makeup, like he's about to be on Toddlers and Tiaras, but in general, I think he's hot.
Croy is moving more towards a lesbian look, for sure. I think that Hot Todd's on top, and then I would say Will next, and then Croy. And then I guess maybe Classic Todd, and then it starts to go. Then you get into a weird area where you got like a Bob, Peter. Who was the other one? There's Bob and Peter, and there's someone else.
This should have ended before we got to Bob.
Yeah, we probably Bob is at the bottom.
Bueller,
wants to weigh in.
Do you disapprove?
Bueller is upset with all this discussion.
Bueller doesn't think Bob's hot either. Thank you for agreeing, Bueller. Go under here so you can stop barking.
Peter and Greg. I'll put Greg above Peter. I think Peter's pretty low there also.
Okay.
All right, I'm glad we solved that.
Yeah, I'm glad I took notes on that. I've got a chart going right now in the notes.
The point is, Hot Todd is hot. We want him back.
So we get to dinner, and Sheree, when they show up, Sheree is wearing a jumpsuit. Now, it's not like one of those really cute jumpsuits. It's like a cheap-ass Walmart gray thick
sweatsuit.
It's the
same one she wore. The same one that she flew with, and she just put on a jacket because they're in San Francisco, and they're all surprised that it's cold. They're like, it's cold! It's cold! It's like, yeah, it's San Francisco. As they say on 30 Rock, as What's-Her-Face said on 30 Rock, like, I'm moving to San Francisco, and I'm bringing I'll always be able to wear a light sweater.
It's cold!
I felt bad for Marlo because Marlo was basically wearing negligee. I mean, she was wearing like a slip, right? It was like
she was wearing a slip like, with panties under and then bunny ears.
Yeah, Nina's like he's like, aren't you getting dressed? And she's like, I am dressed. This is what I'm wearing to dinner.
So also Kenya, when she's getting ready, she's on her bed with tinkly piano music, looking at pictures that are spread out over. Look, Kenya, if you're gonna come. I mean, just stop, okay? Like, Kenya can take even a real thing and make me not feel anything for her by the end of the episode.
She literally framed the room service menus and put them out on the bed just so she could have a picture frame on bed scene. I don't know, Twirl. Should I get French fries?
Twirl, I don't know if I have time to concentrate because I have to edit together all of the donkey booty footage. It's like, oh, jeez. She probably would, too. She'd be like, her grandma's funeral. She's like, and this is when I won Miss America, or Miss Universe. And this is when, or Miss USA, whatever. And this is when Phaedra stole donkey booty.
And then I like when Candy shows up at the dinner and sees Sheree in her, basically in her sweats and a jacket. And she's like, see, now we're damn. Why did we have to wait 2 hours if you could wear your sweatshirt?
Yeah, all she cares about is eating candy.
So which
you
made me eat.
You made me wait to eat. Unfortunately, Kenya. Let's see.
So Nini and Marlo show up at dinner, and no one even bats an eye. So this big surprise was for nothing. Everyone's like, "Oh, look, it's Marlo."
And Kenya is really not batting so well this season so far. She started this episode with another transgender joke, and this time she's like, "I'm not surprised Marlo is here. She would come to the opening of an envelope."
I mean, it's true. Don't get us wrong. Like, you go to a stationery store, she'll be there. But
yeah, and yeah. Sheree's like, "There's an elephant in the room," and Marlo's like, "Yes, and thank you for inviting me." Like, no, it's a figure speech.
You gave us Peach the figure?
No. There's not a new no. So yeah, Sheree's like, "So let's get this dinner started. Nini, why don't you invite Portia to the party?" So Nini is still mad, obviously, that Nini and Portia start to fight because Portia's like, "I just want to know why you're angry with me." And Nini's like, "Oh, it's me who's angry at you, huh?" I'm like, "Well, do you hear the way you're talking right now?"
She's like, "You were the one who was saying, Claudor. And yeah, this is the UR fight. I couldn't even write it all down.
I tried to write like the broad strokes, but at a certain point I gave up. But Portia was like, "No, hold up. I was upset with what you said." And Nini goes, "And I shouldn't be upset with what you said on your show." And she's like, "So you are upset." She's like, "I'm not upset. You're upset." I'm like, "What? Wait. What is happening here?"
I would like to present my notes because this is how it went in my head. Someone's calling me on my computer. Who does that? Decline. I'm reading my notes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nini. So here's my. You're calling me on your computer. No, my computer rang. That means that you called me.
Nini's like, "You were calling me on your computer." So she goes, "I'm not doing that at your moment. Don't be calling Nini because last time Portia said to me, Clodor. And she's like, "I felt like you were angry." "Oh, I was angry with you. You were angry with me. You're angry. You're the one in anger management."
"Nah, well, maybe I'm managing my anger."
"Well, you're not you're not managing yours."
Yeah, but she goes, Nini's like, "You're the one in anger management." And Portia goes, "You need to be." Nini goes, "No, you need to be." And Portia goes, "No, you need to be. No, you need to be. No, you need to be." I was like, what?
Well, Portia's like, "If you're going to start a UR, I talk like a 10-year-old. You think I can't do the UR fight? I can't."
Yeah,
miss.
Exactly. And Nini is again denying that she said that Portia needs to be fired. Because Nini's playing the semantics game, which is her favorite thing. Which is, "I never said that you need to be fired. I said that frickin' Frack need to be off the show because they're declassing." I'm like, Nini, it's the same thing. You're saying that she should be off the show.
No,
honestly.
She said that I called the producers and told them to fire her. And I never called them and said to fire her. I never called anybody to say to fire her. No, you said it on fucking national TV. What's the difference? You said it. And then Nini's like, "Well, what you're trying to say is that I took food off your plates." "Well, you took food off Phaedra's plate." I'm like, okay, so now you're standing up for Phaedra. And then Portia goes, "She took food off her own plate. We should be responsible for our own actions." And Candy's like, "Nobody better take any food off my goddamn plate. I had to wait 2 hours to get this."
And Portia didn't take food off of Phaedra's plate. I mean, unless you want to say, oh, well, when I think that Portia realized that she was about to lose the food off of her plate, too. So she just sort of like hunkered down and took her plate and went to a different corner and let Phaedra's little lunch table descend into the abyss that was opening up underneath it.
You see what this show does to us? Now we're fighting about plate fights. We're having plate. It's like Zorba the Greek in here, okay?
Yeah.
We're throwing plates across the room.
Even Marlo couldn't deal. Marlo started hiding in her veil. And Nini was getting so mad that her bun started to unravel. It's like, and it looked like when you get like a cinnamon bun. And you know like when a cinnamon bun starts to unravel and it feels weird? You're like, this should just be one cohesive mass. But instead it starts to uncoil. You're like, wait a second. This means there's not enough frosting.
Yeah, that's like Nini's bun. But it was like a $5 piece.
Yeah, Nini's like yelling, and Marlo's behind, like rewinding up the bun, which is great too. I feel like that was like her battery, you know, like once that bun was totally unwound, Nini was just gonna be like,
do 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 do. So Nini totally ran out of stuff to yell, so she just started going, okay, 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 over and over, just yelling it. And Porch is like, and she goes, I didn't want to bring your ass here. I was trying to keep you here. It's not that I'm taking credit for bringing you here. I'm taking credit for trying to keep you on the show by standing up for you when you made a mistake. And she's like, oh, so you want to build me up and tear me down? And, you know, Kenny's like, I did that to my house, which is now on sale for anybody who's interested. And Nene's like, oh, you want to build me up and tear me down? She's like, no, yeah. You. No, you. No, you. Ugh.
And then Nene starts screaming, like, about how Portia talks shit on her job every single day. I'm like, Nene, that's what you do, too. You're on Fashion Police. You guys are both in, like, a snarky TV show, although Fashion Police is now done. You know,
but yeah, like, the only difference is that Portia's on a very highly rated, everyday kind of show that she makes a lot more money for and
exactly.
has been on a lot longer than yours ever.
So then they start getting onto another, like, you know, infinite loop of nonsense where Nene is saying, oh, well, you talk shit. So then Portia goes, and what did I say? 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 And then Nene starts going, roll them back, roll them back, roll them back. Roll them back. Every time you do an interview, you got my name in your mouth. Every time you do an interview, you got my name in your mouth. I'm like, why are you guys arguing? And then they start repeating themselves so much that at one point, and this is what I think you put onto Instagram, they both say at the exact same time, you talk shit about me. And they say it in unison.
Well, Nene looks like she's in improv class where you're trying to, like, just mirror the other person, whatever they do, you know? And she's just trying to see whatever she says. I mean, Nene has nothing to bring to this. She has nothing to say. She has nothing to defend herself with because she won't even admit what she did. It's just a waste of fucking time. And I'm proud of Portia for, A, not hitting somebody, B, not stabbing them, C, not kicking them in the stomach, D, for not even being afraid of Nene, because Nene's terrifying.
And I'm proud of Candy for once again providing the low-key shade, because Nene was saying, talking about, like, I had your back, I was doing all this for you, and then Candy, in the background, is, like, eating her food, being like, I did have a back also, but whatever. You know?
She's like, and her, too! And then Cynthia, the voice of reason, is like, what's happening here? Nene's bun was on her head, and then it was unraveled. It's like, thanks, Cynthia. Thanks. It's like, a bird in hand is more worth more than bushes with birds. Okay, Cynthia, thanks.
Can we resolve this? I'm going to be going on a date with a man who has access to a rather large boat.
And Marlo moves in between them, and then she's just sitting there as they scream at each other, like, I wore my veil.
Tomorrow, on the next episode, they go to the Fisherman's Wharf, where Cynthia realizes there are lots of people there who have access to large-sized boats. Guys, you will not believe it. I met a man who has access to a boat that can take us on an exclusive trip to Alcatraz. It's like, yeah, it's called the tour boat to Alcatraz.
And then Nene and Portia also are saying the same things in their talking heads, because Nene's like, well, I stood up for her when she dragged Kenya by the hair. And then Portia's like, well, at least she didn't try to choke me out like she did Kim. It's like, okay, you're both violent assholes, okay?
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. I love a petty fight. Like, I love when there's, like, a fight about salt shakers or something, and then it turns into a huge argument. I mean, Shannon Bedore and Heather Dubrow fighting over a chair, you know, that is, like, hilarious. I love a fight about something petty. What I don't like is some bullshit that's, like, manufactured. That's, like, it's not that the fight is about something petty. It's just that it's, like, someone's being petty in an attempt to try to, like, create. I don't like a fight to create drama where there is none.
There could be drama if she even phrased it right. She's just yelling nonsense like she did for her last two seasons, and it's fucking tiring.
Yeah, and this was always my problem. I think Nene, she's like, listen, I have a job to do. I have to start a fight. But she just doesn't do it gracefully. She doesn't do it with any sort of, like, finesse. She's just like, I'm just going to start yelling, and I'm going to start having a grudge, and I'm going to do that because that's going to be my storyline. And as opposed to, like, something that's, like the chair fight, what was great about the chair fight was that those two women could not help themselves in that moment. They were both arguing over that chair. It exposed, like, their egotism, their insecurity, their like, how ornery they were. It said so much more than it was.
Well, it was about something. I mean, it was stupid, but it was about the chair. Someone stole a chair. Yeah. This is about nothing. One minute, Nene's standing up for Phaedra and saying, you took food off Phaedra's plate. Then she's saying, oh, well, you deserve what you got for what you did to Candy, which was Phaedra's fault. So it's like, who are you? You don't even know who you're standing up for. You're pissed off because someone called you out instead of just saying, yeah, I said you should have gotten fired because what you did was evil and backhanded, and you deserve to not be spoken to, you little bitch. The end.
And on top of that, it's also so it's not really relatable. You know, if you think about it, this is a fight about being on a TV show. They are fighting about Nene going on to one TV show on the network saying that Portia should be kicked off the current show that she is filming and we are now watching. And that's like, it's not as relatable as someone stealing your chair, because we've actually all been there where someone's taken a chair and you like, you wanted to sit there, and it's like annoying. Like, you know, like a fight, like last season, even the sex dungeon thing was relatable because we've all had situations where we've been accused of having a sex dungeon, or no, I'm just, but we've had moments where someone's talked shit about you, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, it doesn't, like, or even earlier this season, Portia not going to Shamia's wedding. That's a more interesting fight because we've had situations where, like, there's been a friendship falling out and someone does some bullshit where they come up with an excuse why they can't do something. And you're like, why didn't you come to my thing? But this...
Well, again, it's hard to even compare any of those because those are actual fights. This is just Nene screaming you are at somebody and having nothing to say. And Portia doesn't even know why she's mad. So she's just screaming because Nene is. It just makes no sense. Like, this isn't even... Like, this isn't even one of the worst fights. It's not even a fight. It's just two idiots screaming random syllables at each other.
Agreed.
And then it ends with Nene screaming, fuck you, 20 times in a row. Like, okay, well, thanks.
Yeah, I think Nene needs to do better. I think Nene, a lot of people would say this is Nene's best quality. I think that if Nene could do better fights, she'd be an all-star again. But she can't.
She's a typical fucking bully. She can be the one that yells, but if she's the one that's called out, she cries and runs every time, just like Zolciak, you know? And that's why those two are done. Like, they may have been some of the OGs of the Housewives, but they were also ready to retire, okay? You've taught a younger and better generation to do it way better than you could. Get the fuck out of here if you're going to make no effort.
Yeah. Well, they also think that they're more important than they are, you know? Because just because they were really popular at a time. And they're still really popular, but they're popular. They've had spinoffs. They get a lot of money from Bravo. People love them. They think they're more important than they are. But you know what? You're still a reality star, okay? You know, you are not like the second coming of Shelley Long.
Oh my God. Okay. That's something to aim for.
Honestly, I mean, that's the thing. They're not even Shelley Long. They're not even Shelley Long.
Yes, agreed. Well, that brings us to the end of this one. Everybody, thanks so much for listening. Tickets go on sale Friday for New York, DC, and I think that's it. So go get them. Get your Houston tickets. Go get your coffee mugs over at watchwhatcrappens.com. Those are up now. And we will talk to you tomorrow with the premiere of Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, my heart just stirred. Okay, everyone. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Welcome to Bose Recommends. This is the place to discover your new favorite podcast. Every week, we listen to hundreds of shows to bring you our favorites. And this is one we think you're going to love.
What's up, everybody? I'm Huey Morgan from Huey Off the Record. If you don't know who I am, well, I'm a musician. I play in a band called Fun Loving Criminals. I'm also a radio DJ on the BBC. I have a couple shows on Radio 2 and a show on BBC 6 Music. And I'll tell you, I'm super happy that Bose is making me part of Bose Recommends. Now, being an old school music head, I've always loved Bose equipment. You know, all their products have been just top of the line. And I use these QC35s. They're just my awesomeness, man. Anywho's, really excited that they're putting me on Bose Recommends. My podcast is pretty much me trying to spend time with interesting people. Because, you know, as time goes on, you realize that if you're going to spend some, you might as well spend it with people that are worthwhile. Anyway, that's why I try to do a podcast. I try to learn new things about music, satire, and culture, and current events. Anyway, if you're a guy like me or a gal like me, you know, please check it out. And I, once again, thanks to Bose. Good looking out, guys. So if you want to listen and subscribe on Acast or iTunes or your favorite podcast application, do so right now. Hey, y'all, stay classy.
That was this week's Bose Recommends, the place to discover your new favorite show. If you want to find out how you can enjoy podcasts and even better sound quality, visit bose.co.uk. Bose. Get closer.